Please turn to Matthew chapter 8 in your Bibles. There are not too many things that surprises our Lord and Savior as recorded in God's Word, but there is an event that Jesus Christ marveled at, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him." Now, a centurion is a military officer, and the Roman army was organized as such, where a centurion was over 100 soldiers. Also, the word centurion would sometimes represent higher level officers as well. As you know, there's different ranks within the military. And this was a military officer of the Roman army. And usually they would have nothing to do with the Judeans. But here, in this situation, this centurion came to Jesus Christ and saying, verse 6, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." Here, in a most awkward situation, this Roman military officer approaches Jesus Christ and evidently has a great heart for his men. And even his servant, you know, most people would treat their servants as if perhaps not even a person. But here, this man had a great love and concern for his servant and was trying anything and everything to help him, to the extent that he would go outside of the normal ways of helping his servant and went to this man that he heard heals people, evidently, and he asked him to help him. Jesus Christ right away said, "Yep, I'll come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Here was this military man, and he understood in his manner of living that as an officer, he could tell somebody else under his rank to do something, and they would do it. All he wanted was a word. He knew, evidently believed in his heart, that Jesus Christ had the authority to say the word, and that word would do the job. That's all that that officer needed to know. Pretty interesting here. And what was the results? When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Not too many things got Jesus Christ, that surprised him. But he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, so great believing, no, not in Israel." And then in verse 13, we see, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." What an amazing thing. He believed, and all he needed was that word. That's all he needed. You know, my life background was that I was in the military as well. I was an officer in the Marine Corps, and I kind of understand what went on in this record. As I went into the Marine Corps, I had to go through a thing called boot camp. And you've seen stories and movies about boot camp, right? You know, the DI, the drill instructors, he's yelling at the guys and do this and do that. And I was like that. The old sergeant, he'd say, jump, and I would jump. I wouldn't ask how high, I'd just jump. And here was this sergeant yelling at me. Craig's a military Marine Corps sergeant, right? And he says, he says to one of his men, do this, they do it. So when I was in boot camp, I was going through this. But there was a day that happened several months after, you know, going through boot camp, I graduated. And they gave me a little brass bar. And you put it on your uniform, you got these two little brass bars, and you put it on your collar. And then you know what I got to do? I got to go to the sergeant and said, you jump now. And he would jump. Because why? I had the authority. That little brown bar, brass bar, made the difference. Made all the difference in the world. Now, so I went, I was assigned to a unit, and we, up at Camp Pendleton, and we had this big maneuvers, war maneuvers. You know, we got, a bunch of us got on ships, thousands of people were involved. We got on the ships here in San Diego, we floated up off the coast of Camp Pendleton, and some guys went on in boats, and others flew in, and, you know, my group flew in, and I was with the regimental commander, a colonel, and I was like in the operations center, so I kind of knew what was going on. I had the big picture, and I was his aide. Now, a colonel is right below a general. Below the colonel is a lieutenant colonel, major, captain, first lieutenant, second lieutenant. I was the second lieutenant, a boot lieutenant. But the colonel said, I want you to go over to where the other battalion officers are meeting, and I want you to give them this message and tell them to do such and such. So he said, you go on my helicopter and get on over there. So I got on this helicopter, and we flew over to this tent, you know, and all these maneuvers are going on, and I had to pass the word from the colonel. So I came into the tent. Here's all these lieutenant colonels and majors and captains. I come in, I'm a little boot lieutenant. But I said, hey, the colonel wants you to do such and such. And they all did it. They all did it. They didn't question my word as a little boot lieutenant. Why? Because I represented the colonel and acted on it. And that's what happened in this situation. You're going to see as we look at more of God's word that you have some great authority, great ability to use the word, the name of Jesus Christ to do some fantastic things. If you believe God's word, you'll see some great, wonderful things that you as a born-again believer can do with the authority of Christ Jesus within. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do, the works that I do, he do, ye shall do also. Is that what it says? Shall he do also. I'm sorry. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Here Jesus Christ was telling them, you're going to do the works that I do, and even greater works, greater works. And how in the world are we going to be able to do the works of Jesus Christ? Through using His name. If you shall ask anything, verse 14, in my name I will do it. This is the Word of God I'm reading, right? It's not the Word of Bob or anybody else. This is God's Word. This is what Jesus Christ was laying out, the great opportunity to use the name of Jesus Christ to do wonderful works, the works that Jesus Christ did, and even greater works. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your what? Joy may be full. Jesus Christ was telling them, teaching them about some things that would happen in the near future, that they would have some great joy, a joy that no man could take away from them. And it would be through asking the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, in His name. And He's challenging them, you haven't asked anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, the name of Jesus Christ, as we've seen already, gives us great access to power, access to God. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 in the church epistles. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and this is Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. You can't come up with a name greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave him this name, and he exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee. When the word says every, what do you think it means? Every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. I haven't looked under the earth lately, but I think it means everything. A lot anyway, huh? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Man, this is God's heart. His desire is that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it would be a glory to the Father. You know, God's heart's desire in 1 Timothy 2:4 is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's heart's desire. He wants everybody to get born again of God's Spirit. How do you get born again of God's Spirit? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Right? Romans 10:9. We confess Him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's first in my life. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. He did. You do that, you're born again of God's Spirit. You have the authority and privilege to use the name of Jesus Christ to do some fantastic things. Perhaps the most fantastic thing you could do is help other people understand who Jesus Christ is so that they get born again and they confess Him as Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. That's God's heart's desire, all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Man, oh man, what a vision, what an opportunity that we have. Oh my goodness. To use the wonderful name that is above every name, that every knee should bow. My goodness. Now, I hope we are not like what verse 21 talks about. I trust that we're not like this. It says in verse 21 of chapter 2 in Philippians, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." A lot going on in this world, a lot of things to get involved with. Nothing greater to get involved with than God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to get involved with. I don't think you would be here if you had other interests. But you want to know God's Word. You want to know a little bit more about Jesus Christ. I do too. Where are we going? To God's Word to find out. The early church certainly recognized the value and the authority they had in using the name of Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Acts and we'll look at the early church. The early church started on the day of Pentecost, right? Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He came back. He talked to his disciples about a day when they would receive Holy Spirit and they would be born again of that Spirit. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And then they started moving out using the name of Jesus Christ. So, in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Do you think that guy would have loved to have all the silver and all a bunch of gold? That might have been nice, but what did he really want? He wanted healing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, that healing became available to him. Verse 7 says, "And he took him up by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." There's a little children's fellowship we could sing on that, huh? Walking and leaping and praising God. You know what? I thought about this. Had this man ever walked before in his life? Can you imagine? Not only was he delivered fully in his ankle bones and everything else, but he knew how to walk because he never had walked before. Amazing. And everybody knew him. How often did he come to that gate, the temple gate? Daily. Man, everybody knew this guy. Go to verse 16 here. Let's see what happens. What happened was people got excited. They were wondering, what's going on here? And so Peter and John are sharing what is going on. Verse 16, "In his name, through faith or believing in his name, hath made this man strong." So what made this man strong? The name of Jesus Christ. "It made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the believing, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Wow. Isn't that something? Let's go to chapter 4. Because what happened was here, people were excited, but the leaders didn't like this going on. Chapter 4, verse 1. "And as they spake unto the temple, or to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And they were just very thankful that this man got healed, weren't they? Oh, they were rejoicing. Way to go, Peter and John. You really did something here. No, what was their attitude? They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Why were they teaching the resurrection of the dead? How do you get born again? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Wow. So, they laid hands on them, not to minister to them, but what did they do? Put them in jail, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 people got born again, and that was just the men. I'm sure there were some ladies there. Isn't that something? And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They recognized that people used the name, somebody's name, as a power of attorney. We have power of attorney today, whereby we give somebody the authority, the right to use my name and the power that is behind that name. So they ask, "Well, what power and by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, he was born again, of course. He was filled, overflowing. He was getting revelation here and said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven." No other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody comes to the Father comes by me." He didn't say he was a way or a truth or a life. He said he was it. I'm it. And that is the name that we see makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world, the name of Jesus Christ. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Boy, they just didn't want that name getting out. The old adversary, the devil, doesn't want the name of Jesus Christ getting out. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, for whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. You know, they're reminding God what he has done. Okay? They're praying to him. And they continue to pray. And let's pick it up in verse 29. And now, Lord, they're talking to God and they say, hey, Lord, now behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The text really is servant. Or other translations, I know Jan in her Aramaic translation translates it as son. You know, the Holy Son, Jesus, which would be more accurate. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Isn't that something? That's what we want to do. When we recognize Jesus Christ, who he is and who we are with Christ within, that we've got a name we're speaking for, then we can get a little excited too. Really. Let's go to 16, chapter 16. One more little record here. 16, early church used the name of Jesus Christ. And you and I can use the name too with the same authority and with the same expectation of believing. And it came to pass, verse 16, chapter 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He used the name of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a wonderful opportunity. You and I, too, can use the name of Jesus Christ. We too have that power of attorney. There's a wonderful study by Victor Paul Wirwell in the New Dynamic Church, a book that he wrote, and he shares about your power of attorney. I want to share a little section here. What is the power of attorney? What is it to have the power of attorney in your life or in the life of the church? The power of attorney is the legal right to use the name of the person who has given you the power. This power is limited only to the extent of the resources behind that name. Well, is there very much limitation to the name of Jesus Christ and the power behind it? Not at all. If the church has been given the power of attorney, it has only as much power as in the name of Jesus Christ. If the name of Jesus Christ has power, and that name has been given to you, then you have the power of attorney to execute in that name whatever resources he has available. Wow. I mean, we're loaded when you think about the reality that you and I can use the name of Jesus Christ to make difference in people's lives. Man, oh man. Colossians, let's take a look at Colossians. I'm sorry, Ephesians. Ephesians, the name of Jesus Christ. We can use that name because we have the power of attorney to heal people, to tell devil spirits to take a hike, to do all kinds of wonderful things. 5:19, Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to really recognize when we pray what we're doing. You know, it's not just a simple thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, but it's in the name of Jesus Christ that has saved us, that has given us life eternal, that has great power. We need to think about this name and get this realization that with the name of Jesus Christ, man, when I pray, it's a real thankfulness that I have because I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't pray in the name of anybody else, but if that's the name that saved me, that's the name I'm going to go to God and be thankful for. Let's look at Colossians now. Colossians 3:16. Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think we were doing a little bit of that earlier. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's start really using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a haphazard, you know, unthinking way, but think about when we pray with that powerful, wonderful, loving name of Jesus Christ. Man, oh man, because, you know, we're going to get into situations, somebody's going to need healing, and we're going to have the presence of mind knowing that Jesus Christ, in that name, I can minister healing, that person can get up and be totally set free. That's how we should think. That's what we want to build. You know, that's what I'm doing as I work the word here, is build the power that I have available because I can use the name of Jesus Christ to bring deliverance to people in so many ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Boy, this is God's word we're looking at, folks. You know, if I was reading from some other book, I could see where you could get bored. But this is the word of life. This is the word of truth. God says what He means and means what He says. And if He says we can use the name of Jesus Christ, then we can use it with great authority. He has given us that power of attorney. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith or believing with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not, you know, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you. This is not some religious thing. This is a life thing. That the name of Jesus Christ has significance. It has meaning. It brings you joy. Talked about joy, didn't it? We read that we would have great joy established in our life. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. We're going to close here in 1 John chapter 3. You know, our lifestyle of being a son of God, using the name of Jesus Christ with authority, should be one of great joy and confidence and assurance. Let me share with you another little excerpt from this book. Ask yourself honestly, do I have the power of attorney? You do have the right, the God-given authority, to use the name of Jesus Christ and see things come to pass. Just to say the name of Jesus Christ is not all that is necessary. You must believe that when you are saying it, things will come to pass. All power is energized by believing, and it is up to you to operate believing. Believing is action. You must know what the Word of God says and then act upon that Word. As you hear the Word and act upon it, God will answer your request. Well, let's take a look at this 1 John here. chapter 3, verse 9. Okay. 3:19, I'm sorry, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Do you know that you're of the truth? I would want to know I'm of the truth. If eternal life's available to walk by the Spirit, to do all these wonderful things, to be saved, born again, I'd really want to know it. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to find out, because it might not be heaven. So, you know, of course, God has given us the means by which we can know that we know that we know that we're born again of God's Spirit, right? Because if we operate manifestations, we heard speaking in tongues with interpretations, one of the nine manifestations has to have Spirit to do that. So when we operate like speaking in tongues, we know we have the Spirit. And man, oh man, we have eternal life. We can have this. We can be assured in our hearts. For if our heart, verse 20, condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. See, this is what we should do. Let me close here by sharing this little, another excerpt from this book. Now that you know you have the power of attorney, use it. What value is it to you to have money in the bank if you do not know you have it? It is the same situation as when we have all the power in the name of Jesus Christ and we do not realize it. We have Christ in us, so we have the power of attorney. In the name of Jesus Christ, activate that power and live the more abundant life. Okay? So Heavenly Father, we come before You in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And we are very, very thankful that we have that name to believe on, that name to get born again by, that name to live our life with as we pray to You and we bring that prayer to You with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And doing that, we have great confidence. We know that You will work within us, bless us, take care of us, because we use that name, Father, and it has great power. It has great meaning and significance. So, Father, I'm grateful that we can learn more and more of the greatness of the name of Jesus Christ and all that it represents. And I pray for each and every person here learning a little bit more and being able just to step out using that name more and more in their lives to give thanks, to minister to people. Father, we're sure grateful that this lifestyle exists. Thankful for Your wonderful word that it teaches us and makes this knowledge available to us. So I pray for, again, for each and every person having a great, wonderful week this week as we live it using the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray in His name, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right.